I'm glad you're here. We're in our second lesson on people. And just glad to continue this lesson. Last time we talked about people that we should associate, with whom we should associate. Let me say it correctly. And this way we're going to talk about a little something different. There are people that God purposely puts into our life. And these people hold the key for our going higher. And immediately when they think that, okay, what you're talking about is people that can help me, help open doors for me. No, I'm not. Actually, what I'm really talking about are people that God puts there for you to help, for you to cause to go higher, for you to open doors, for you to influence into their lives so that they can go higher. Because you see, the truth that I want us to see today is that you cannot go on any further until you help them go higher. And once you've done that, then it's a key to open up things for you. So people, this is what we're talking about, people that we push up. Let me read this scripture to you. It's in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Before I read it, just let it up there and you can look at it. King James Version does it like this: given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And a lot of times we associate that with giving money. And that's usually what preachers use it for. But that's not at all what Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is really talking about here, if you look in context, he's talking about loving people. If you back up, you'll find that. Coming on down, you'll find doing good for people. He says, he talks there about being merciful to people, not judging people. And after he said this, he talks about people that we follow and people that lead us and people that follow us. He's talking here about people and what we do for people. So this is real context. So in that, let's read it now. If you give, you will receive. Now, I want to make this as personal as I possibly can to us. Would you say that back to me? If you give, you will receive. Would you say that out loud? If you give, you will. That's right. Now, would you make it personal? If I give, I will receive. Would you say that very loud? If I give, yes, you will. And we don't really realize it or think about it that way, but when we give to people, we're going to get given back too. So this is what he's saying here. Your gift will return to you in full measure. That's good right there. You're not going to lose anything, for sure, by giving. But then he says, but it's the plus. There's several pluses here that follow that. Plus, pressed down. That's good. It's going to be compacted, so there's room for more. Shaken together to make room for more. That's good. And plus, again, and running over. God just doesn't want you to have a life where you make it through, that you make it by. He wants to give you a life that's good measure, pressed down, shaken together, room for more. And if you got room for more, then he wants to give you more. Room for more, whatever measure you use to in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. Now, what I want us to see here in this passage are a couple of things. First of all, we give freely, but we give knowing. We give knowing something. What is it that we should know? We should know that if I give, it's coming back. Secondly, that I should know this, and this is what I'm really wanting to get us today to see, is I should know that my giving has something to do with my future and my destiny. What I'm doing today is setting in motion my future. What I do with people, do to people, do for people, is setting in motion what's going to happen to me in the future. If I help people experience their dreams and live their dreams, then God promises me that I'm going to set people out into your future and down the road for you, and they're going to help you live your dreams, Delbert. If you open doors and use the influence that you have to make it easier for people to enter into what they need to do and what they desire to do in their life, if you'll do that for them, then I'll make sure that happens for you. And this is what the Lord wants us to hear today and see today, that people are in our lives. God has purposefully put people in every person's life, not so they can help you, but so you can help them. But they hold the key to your future and to your destiny. You are setting right now in motion your own future and your own destiny by how you help people and by what you're giving to people. On purpose, God does that. It's connected with your destiny. And you need to look around in your life right now. Who is it that God has put there? Who is it that you are helping? I want to read Ecclesiastes 11:1 to you. It says here, give generously, for your gifts will return to you when? When? Help me. Later. You're setting in motion your later by what you're doing right now by your giving. And not giving money, but what you're doing to help people, to push people up. It's going to happen for you later. Divide your gifts among many. Do this for a lot of people, all the people that you possibly can. Divide your gifts among many, for you do not know what risk might lie when? Ahead, in your future. And so what the Lord is trying to get us to see here is that right now you are setting up your own future. We want to blame it on this, or we want to blame it on that. We want to blame it on this one, or blame it. No! You set up your own future. And so much of it is key to how you do and how you push up people. It's all connected together. I want you to see that this is connected with that. It's not, nothing's out there all by itself. There is a chain link effect. And when you do something, it starts in motion this series of events that's going to take place in and for your life. When you help people go higher, then God promises you, I'm going to put something in your later to help you go higher. If you open doors for people, I'm not talking about literally opening doors, although that's a nice thing to do. But if you will do what you can do to help people go into a future for them, then I'll make sure that somebody down your road in your later is going to open a door for you to help you go into your future. And this is the promise of God. Now, every one of us should have what I want to call a project person. Now, let me explain. Somebody that we believe in. Somebody that we care about. Somebody that we want to see succeed. Somebody that we pour ourselves into. We pour our wisdom into. Our connections into. The connections that we've made. A person that they may not be able to meet themselves or find themselves. But we can, and we know, and so we hook them up. We do everything that we possibly can to help push up this person. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're setting up our own future. Our own future. And what we say is, well, Delbert, I've got my own agenda. I've got my own plans. I've got my own things that I want to do. I really don't have time. No, no, no. You got to hear me differently today. You got to hear this different. You see, the person that you say that you don't have time for, the person for which you say you don't have time, is the person who holds the key to your agenda. If you don't help them, there's nothing set out there to help you. And so what I want you to really hear me today say is that the way you push people up right now is what's really going to help you in your later. You set up your own future by how you're handling and treating and pushing up people today. If you help people be successful, it's going to come back on you. It's going to come back. It's going to come back multiplied times. It's going to be pressed down and shaken together. You create with every good thing that you do for somebody, with every good thing that you do, you're creating a chain reaction that's going to cause something to happen for you later. Now, I want to ask you, and I want you to think about it just right now, this moment, while you're sitting here. Don't wait until you go out the door to think about it. Right now, who is there in your life right now that you're helping, you're pushing up? Who is there? Who is there that God has put there for you to push up? There is somebody. There is somebody that God has purposefully brought into your life, and that person holds the key to your future. Who is it? You need to think differently about that. There are people right now in every person's life God's purposefully put there to cause us to go higher. We're helping them, but in so doing, we're using the key to bring our life higher. You are where you are today simply because of people. You are. I mean, you might not think so, but no, people have helped you since the day you were born. Your mother, your dad, I was thinking about this in my own life. My mom and my dad, of course, money and time and effort and all the problems I caused them and all the things they had to put up with. But they poured into me and they helped me become. They had such belief in me. They constantly were telling me, Delbert Ray, you can do anything you want to do. They made me believe in myself. I had aunts and uncles and grandparents. My grandparents, I still teach sermons about things I learned from my grandfather. We have so many people. When I was a child, I had this family that would come by and pick me up every Sunday and take me to church. Had Sunday school teachers that imparted into me way back then lessons of life that I'm still applying to my life today. People. I had a pastor when I was a young guy. He took a little extra time with me, and it was through him and under his ministry that I felt the first call of God on my life. making me who I am and do what I do today. Way back then, people. There are just so many people along our life. Teachers, school teachers that we have. They teach us to be smarter, wiser. They teach us to read, to write. They teach us to add and subtract. They're imparting into our lives so that we can be better people. All life is made up with people. We have friends that have pushed me up. I've got relatives and a pastor who loves me and is constantly calling me, him, and we push and encourage each other up. And if I were to attempt right now to try to put all the people that's influenced my life on this platform, they wouldn't fit. And they may not fit in this building. And the truth be known is that every single one of us, every single person here, are what we are because of people. They have influenced our life. And what God is wanting us to see today is that's the impact that each of us have on others. We help them form their lives for their destinies, but in so doing, we're setting up our own destiny. And you may say, well, Delbert, that's just not how it was with me. When I came along, I just didn't have a loving family like you. I wasn't around an encouraging bunch of folks like you are. No, I don't care. Maybe you had a bad family home situation. Maybe your dad walked out on you when you were just a child or whatever. But somebody stepped up to the plate and did what was necessary to make you who you are. Mama came up to the plate and she did double time. Or maybe grandma, grandpa, or grandparents, or a coach or a teacher. But somebody helped you become who you are. And this is what I want us to see. This is so vital and necessary in all of our lives to become what we are supposed to be. Somebody helps us. And you never lose when you help. You never lose when you push up people. And Jesus says you'll at least get back the measure that you gave, right? So you're not going to lose. But what you really begin doing is you begin a chain reaction of events that's going to take place. And by your doing, it's going to eventually come back around to you. I want to read you this verse again that I've already read to you in one translation. I want to read it to you in another translation, maybe one that's a little more familiar to you. This is the NIV version, and in Ecclesiastes 11:1 it says, cast your bread upon water. Upon what? Waters. Now, does that make a lot of sense to you? Why would you do that? Well, cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days, you will find it again. What's the purpose here? What are they saying to us? Does that make any sense? No. What I'm wanting to get through here is that each of us need to have a consistent life of pushing up people. Every day, we should do something that helps somebody get a little higher. Do a favor for somebody. Do something nice for somebody. And it doesn't have to be a major deal. It can be something as simple and maybe insignificant and maybe even foolish as throwing bread on water. But he says there, the promise is this. Even if you do something that seems foolish, that doesn't seem to have any point at all in it, what's it going to eventually do? It's going to come back to you. And we want to do something huge and monumental, and we think that's what we're talking about. No, it's just doing things like taking somebody out to lunch, or responding to somebody's invitation to go to lunch, or maybe it's giving somebody a phone call that you know is just kind of down and out. They're having a bad moment, a quit time, and you can encourage them. It's maybe keeping somebody's children so they can go to the grocery store, or maybe it's picking somebody up and taking them to work. It's something that may seem incidental and not important, but the promise is it's going to come back to you. One day, no matter how insignificant or how foolish it may seem, it's coming back to you. And another thing that we think is we've always got to think about this as somebody that's beneath us or not acquired to the place that we've acquired so that we can help. No. That's not it at all. That's not the way. A lot of times you push people up that may be a superior to you, like a boss. Or like a parent. You know, it's somebody that maybe is an equal to you. Like around here. You know, at LifeGate Church, there's so many people that you guys never see. They're behind the scenes. They're nursery workers and children ministries going on. And people back there in the media room and camera people and all of these things that are going on that you never see. And they're here as unto the Lord, and they're doing it as unto the Lord, and the Lord is rewarding them. But they're making me look good. And so God blesses them because God's going to make them look good. Somewhere along the way, they're going to need to shine. They're going to need to look good. And somebody's going to help them. And this is all through the Scriptures. You think about, like Noah. I was thinking about Noah. You know, Noah, boy, you know, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah built the ark, right? Come on. Did Noah build the ark? No, he didn't. He had three boys. Now, who do you think built that ark? Noah's an old dude. And he had these three young boys. And if you just divided it into percentages, each one does 25%. Noah could only have built 25% of the ark. But Noah shines, man, Noah. But the way it works out is they disperse into the nations. It's Ham who comes into the countries. And these people and these nations and these races come from Ham. And these people and these nations and these races come from Japheth. And these people and these nations and these people, they come from Shem. And so, it, you know, even where you look at it, you know, they push their dad up, but they've got blessings. Just thinking about Jacob going to live with his uncle Laban. Uncle Laban got rich because Jacob was there. Jacob made Laban, his uncle, look good. I mean, he did. He got wealthy. He was well admired by all the country. But when you look at the whole story, what came back to Jacob because he pushed up his uncle Laban, Jacob looked good. Jacob's the one that ended up with the real wealth. He's the one that ended up with the family that became the whole nation of Israel. And he's the one who had the eternal blessings of God. Not Laban. Wherever that you look at the Scriptures, you find somebody pushing somebody up. We've talked about Elijah and Elisha. Now, Elisha hooked up with Elijah because he understood that Elijah could help him get what he needed in life and have the life that he wanted to have. We talked about that last time. But there come a time when Elijah became a very old man. And it got time for him to go to be with the Lord. His job was done. And the Lord was about ready to take him. But Elisha stayed with him. Now, you've probably experienced some of this. You know, we're with people and we see them ministering to these older folk and spending a lot of time. And we wonder, why are you spending so much time there? And you know that people had to ask Elisha, why are you spending all... You need to go home and you need to find your own family. You need to get your own home. You need to have your own life. But he didn't. He stayed there with Elijah because he understands the principle for which I'm speaking to you today. He understood that his key to the life that he wanted to have was in Elijah. And if he could make Elijah look good, then he was going to get the life that he wanted. And you know how the story went. The whirlwind, the fiery chariot came, took Elijah up, but his mantle came back down upon Elisha. He picks his mantle up, and he has a double blessed life. And I want us to see the principle here. See, your life can be double blessed. You might as well get ready for it to come down on you when you start blessing and ministering to people and pushing people up. It's coming back on you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. The life that you really want, a key to it is in your pushing up other people. This is the way it works, and this is what the Lord is really trying to tell us. I have a sister-in-law, and she's got the biggest heart concerning this of anybody that I guess I've ever really known. All of her life, she's done this, especially with older people. She would go and she would clean their house and she would cook for them, and she would do it freely. And she would do it, you know, just because she was a good person, and she'd go run errands for them and all of these things, but it never failed. God always gave her a double blessing. These people would write her into their will. She would get thousands and thousands of dollars when they passed on. Why? Because God's going to bring it back to you. And you cannot help somebody and it not be good for you. It's been an amazing thing watching that. I remember before I came into the ministry, I want to get through this part as quickly as I can. But when I came into the ministry, before I came into the ministry, I worked for a textile plant. And I went up the ladder really quickly. And the reason that I did is because I pushed people up. Wherever they put me, I made my boss look good. I pushed them up. If I was in quality control, I made the person over me look good. I made him shine. If I was in a department, I made that department look good. The production would go up. I made the boss look good. And so I didn't realize what I was really doing at the time. I was just thought I was doing my job best I could. But what I was really doing was setting up my own future. Because when they wanted to try something new with supervision training, I was the youngest dude ever to go into it. But they said, hey, Delbert, we want to try this with you. Will you be interested? Yeah. So I start moving through that. A shift comes open. Hey, Delbert, you want? I'm setting up my own future simply because I made others look good. I pushed them up. And so finally, I got my own department. And they loved me. My employees liked me because I made them look good. My bosses liked me because I made them look good. And it came time for me to move to Lafayette. I had about a week left down there at that plant. And I got a memo from the plant overseer, not my boss, but my boss's boss, who was over the whole thing, and asked me to come to his office. And I went. And he said, Delbert, sit down, please. So, and he was a tough guy. Man, this guy was tough to please. And he said, "He says I just want to tell you that I know you're leaving." And he says, "I don't know how to approach this." He says, "I don't know how to compete with God." And he says, "I haven't approached you about it before." He said, "But I just wanted to ask you, is there anything I can do to keep you here, to cause you to change your mind and stay with us?" And I said, "No." I said, "I really want to do this. I feel like I'm supposed to do this. I'm ready to do this." And he says, "Well, okay." He said, and here's what he said is, I'll never forget it. He said, "Well, if church doesn't work out for you, will you please come back and find me? I will find a place for you in this organization." Well, that encouraged me. But the truth is known now. The plant is closed. Delbert's still going. And I really feel like I'm the one who got the double blessings of God that come down upon me. Because when I look at my life in any area, it's double blessed. And what God promises us is that if we'll make others look good, we're setting up our own future. We're doing things, we're putting in motion things for our later. And if we'll do it His way, God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. And a great place to start this is in your own home. But before I get into that part, I want to ask you, are you pushing up anyone? Who are you pushing up? Who in your life has God put there for you to push up? And I want to make sure I make this point. You see, because I feel like a lot of times our lives stagnate. We get to a place where nothing's happening. We're just staying status quo. We're not improving. Our finances are stagnant. Our home is stagnant. Our lives are stagnant. Our position is stagnant. Well, why? Well, I think this is a part of that, you see, because when we stop pushing up, we stop the chain. We stop the good things happening for us. The doors opening and the opportunities and the favors of people because we're not doing it for anyone else. And I was looking at my own life concerning this very thought. And I used to do it a whole lot more than I do now. I used to do what I'm telling you to do a whole lot more than I do it now. I used to push people up a lot more. A lot frequently. More frequently. A lot harder than I do now. You know, and what God is telling you and telling me and telling all of us today, look, I want to make sure you understand this principle. Start pushing up. If you will, I'm going to open doors for you. I'm going to make ways for you that you've been wondering why things haven't been happening. And if you will, you get ready. A double blessing's coming down. And a good place to start is always with the family, always in your home. My wife has always pushed me up. If you've known her for any time, she's always supported me, always made me better and pushed me up and encouraged me. I used to push up our children and cause them to get up, pushed up, but now they push me. And as you know, Lance, when he was here, he worked hard. He made sure the lights were set right and that the audio sounded well and the cameras were lined up correctly and everything was going on. The videos worked and he was always trying to make me look good. He wanted me to, he wanted me to appear intelligent. He would work with me. Dad, here's how you say this word. You know, and he cared and he pushed me up to make me do better and get me to where he knew I wanted to go. My daughter, Bonnie, she's a very loving, giving person. And what she always pushed me at was my dress. She didn't like me to dress with cheap clothes or with dated clothes. She liked me to look fresh and, you know, with it. And I look at them now. They pushed me up. They made me better. They wouldn't let me get stagnant. And I was thinking about that in their lives now. And I look at their lives and they're so blessed. They have great families, great children. They're blessed. God's opening doors for them left and right. Bonnie's still doing the same thing all the time. She's down there every day. She seems like she's doing something for somebody. Pushing them up. Making their lives better. Helping them fulfill their dreams. And she is one blessed woman. And this, what I'm trying to relate to you, is that a good place to start is always in your home or with people that are right around you. You push your spouse up. You push your nephew up. You push your niece up. You push your son up, your daughter up. You push your grandmother or your grandfather up. You push your mom or your dad. But push and push. Push people up so that they can acquire and have the lives they want. Because that is a key for you having the life that you want. Many of you know Patrick and Mary Grace Murphy. Used to be Mary Grace King, Joyce and Butch's daughter. I've known her since she was about that big. She and my daughter were best of friends and grew up together, hung out together and all this stuff. And Mary Grace is always going to church here, and she would be now, except Patrick took her away from us. Anyway, sweet, sweet. Both of them are just precious people of God, just wonderful. But anyway, my story about this is that Mary Grace was in her first pregnancy, and she was about to have a child, and everything was going really well. The pregnancy was good, and everything was going great. And then one day, bang, a bad report. And the child she was carrying, they said, had all these abnormalities and deformities. And they were going to do like an immediate C-section on her the very next morning. And then Alex was born. No deformities and no abnormalities physically, but he was born with Down syndrome. But Mary Grace and Patrick were not going to let that get them down. And they definitely were not going to let Down syndrome get Alex down. And they began to push Alex up. They could have just settled, well, we have a child with Down syndrome and let that be it. But no, that's not what they did. Patrick would find jobs where it would be associated with a financial blessing so that he could provide the finances and the income for the enormous financial deficits that they were encountering because of Alex's special needs. And they made sure that Alex always had the special nursing and the special gifting programs and speech therapist and occupational therapist and all of these things that he required to be pushed up. And they continually pushed him up. And God kept blessing them and blessing them and blessing them. And they found this program at Vanderbilt in Nashville. They were living in Knoxville at the time. And they found this special thing in Nashville that they wanted to get Alex into. And so Patrick says, this is good. I'm going to apply. And he applied at Vandy to be a professor in there with their Spanish. That's what he does. He's a college level teacher of Spanish. And he applied there and they said, no, we don't have anything there. Well, God thought different. And through a chain link of amazing miracles, including two key people in this thing, ending up on an airplane sitting side by side, flying to France. They ended up together. And that began the whole thing. They decided at Vanderbilt that they do need a Spanish professor. And now they've moved there. And now Alex has access to all of these amazing programs. I was sitting at my desk and actually working on this lesson, and Mary Grace calls me. Now, she thinks she's calling me because she has something she wanted to ask me. But in reality, God just had her call me. Because God wanted me to be reminded of all of this. And so I asked her, I said, Mary Grace, will you just write me a little something so I can share with the people? And she did. You can see it's big with her. And I want to give you just a couple of quotes as to what she went through, but where they are now, and how God has so amazingly moved in her life. So I'm going to quote from it just a little bit. Here, I want to read this to you. There are so many wonderful things in our lives that wouldn't be here if we didn't have Alex. Now, I want to put that to you in the terms that we're talking here. If we hadn't pushed Alex up. I see God in so many things that have happened to us. It has raised such a bar in our lives, having Alex in our lives. There were so many days in the beginning of Alex's life when all I could do was ask, why me? Asking God, why me? I know I've been a very good and faithful child. What are you doing to me? I would be so angry, she said. God made some amazing moves. He put money there that shouldn't have been there, made ways where there wasn't any ways. This thing opens up where they can move to Vandy, and all of these things are taken care of. They keep pushing Alex up. God keeps blessing them. You cannot push and help people without God bringing it back to you. It doesn't matter what it is. You do something good, even though it's your own child or his people. But if you keep pushing people up to do better in life, then it's going to come back to you. I want to read a little bit more. There are so many. Now, let me. Okay, what did... Let me read this to you. There are so many world-renowned programs here for us. We have such an amazing life here in Franklin, just 10 miles south of Nashville. And I put this in here. I don't know if you remember Alex or not. I think they'll be here at Easter time. If you don't know him, you will. And if you don't want to get a hug, don't get around him. He is the lovingest, sweetest child. Of course, Alex is such a blessing. Okay, that's my part. I ask God nowadays... I ask God nowadays to please continue to bless our lives as He's been doing. When we let Him take control and realize He knew what He was doing, because I was sure He had me mixed up with somebody else, things just went so much easier and more quickly. What we once thought was a horrible thing, a horrible thing is now such an awesome blessing. You push people up and it comes back to you. How did it come back to them? They have this fabulous house now in this fabulous community. Patrick has this dream job. And Mary Grace sent me a special email. She says, make sure you mention that Patrick is so happy that he's in a city that has a professional hockey team. Good measure. Press down. Shaken together. It comes back. The name Patrick Henry. Go ahead. Yeah. The name Patrick Henry. I got 1 minute. A big old clock back there. The name Patrick Henry. The name Patrick Henry used probably doesn't mean anything to you. We're going to be about 10 minutes and then we'll be done. But anyway, this is really important. The name Patrick Henry used probably doesn't mean anything to you. I hope it does after today. And I could have used him in our No Excuses lesson a while back. But I wanted to use his dad instead. Because it's not Patrick Henry that I want to tell you about. It's his daddy who pushed Patrick Henry up. Patrick Henry Hughes was born with two real weird, strange birth defects. And he was born without eyes, and he was born with a disease that causes his joints to not be able to straighten out. He can't straighten out any of his limbs. And you may remember seeing him on television not long ago. But at any rate, he was born this way, and initially his daddy said, why? Why us? Why me? How can this be going on? Why? We did it your way, God. We played by your rules. Why? We don't understand. But within a year's time, they found out that this amazing child has this amazing musical ability. He picks up music and he plays the piano and the trumpet. And what I want to get to quickly is that now he is in a marching band. This child without eyes, born without eyes, and this child that cannot walk is now in a marching band. Now, how can that be? It's because his dad not only pushes him up, but he pushes him in the wheelchair. And his dad takes him to all the practices, goes to school with him, learns all the routines, all the movements, all the twirls and the alignments of all the thing, and lines him up. And I want you to see this little video that I made that I edited back down just a little bit for us. And I think it's going to speak to us. So take a watch.
nobody like him, one of a kind. Okay with the attention, handles it fine. 5 years older today than doctor said he would be. He's into music and the Cardinals marching band. Should see him in uniform, trumpet in hand. Dad behind pushing that wheelchair, a sight to see.
Born without eyes and with a tightening of the joints that prevents his limbs from ever straightening, Patrick has been blind and crippled from birth.
We just asked why us. We played by all the rules. We worked hard. We just didn't understand.
You could go up and hit a note no matter where it was on the piano, and within the one or two tries, he would find that exact note.
By his second birthday, he was playing Requests.
Can you play You Are My Sunshine?
I was just ecstatic that, you know, okay, we're not going to play baseball, but we're going to play music together.
At every Louisville football game.
Dad behind pushing that wheelchair, a sight to see. Friends tell his dad, hey man, sorry about your son. Don't see how you make it. You question why Gus, he just smiles. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do.
So it was decided. Patrick would play, and Dad would push. As part of the 214-member Louisville Marching Band, a blind and wheelchair-bound trumpet player and his able-bodied father do it all together. From the pre-game drill practice to the march around the stadium to the halftime performance in front of thousands. Dad rolls and rotates his son across the field in mostly perfect formation. In order to be at every band practice,
I'm too slow on the spin,
and to sit beside his son in every class.
Question?
Yes. How do you come up with all the?
Patrick's father works the graveyard shift for UPS. By the time Patrick moves from his bed into his wheelchair each morning, Dad is ready to begin their day together.
He's my hero. I've told him before. What he goes through, it's taught me that I don't really have any complaints. I guess a father couldn't ask for any more than the relationship that I have with Patrick.
What did we do to deserve all of this? I don't understand why God would bless us with a child. He takes what he's given, one day at a time. Treasures each moment, gets the most out of life. I've learned a lot from my son. If I ask God, why not? There's so much I would have missed. What did we do to deserve all of this? I don't understand why God would bless us with a child like I have seen. He takes what he's given,
know, not doing things for people causes you to miss so much in life. You know, and what you give, when you push up, it comes back to you. So what came back? What came back to John? Well, I don't know if you saw it or not, but extreme home makeover. Built him a house. A big 5,000 square foot house. Free. Paid for. And a bunch of other stuff. God promises. You push up. And later, when you need it, I'll make sure it's there for you. So I ask you again today, to whom are you pushing up? Who are you making dreams come true? What are you doing? Are you saying that I don't have time? No, you got to hear me different. That person that you say you don't have time for holds the key to your destiny and to your future. God is keeping track. Every penny that you spend to help somebody accomplish what they need to accomplish, every mile you drive out of your way to help somebody get to where they need to go, every moment you take to make something happen, talking to somebody, hooking up connections for somebody, God's keeping account. And when you need it, God says, it's coming back to you. Let's pray. Father, help us. Lord, let us see people. Let us understand the truth. The truth, Lord. Let us understand that, Lord, we need to get ready. Because when we help people, then you're going to make sure that we get blessed. Heaven opens, a double portion comes down. And we receive all those things. Heads bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe you'd say, Delbert, you know, it's so true. There's times when I've done really well at this. I've helped people, but I get so tired. I get run down. I get busy. And there's things that I know I want to do and even desire to do for people, but I just don't take the time. I've just never seen the truth and the principle there, but I see it now. And I want God to help me. I want God to help me understand that I'm missing something in life, but I'm also affecting my own agenda by not doing it for them. I want to take time. I want to change my life, and I want to push people up like I've never pushed them up before. If that's you, would you, along with me, raise your hand and say, yeah, okay, I think that's just about all of us. Father, help us. Well, we really want to do what's right. We know this is truth. We know. And Lord, that when we do for others, we do freely. But Lord, if we'll just do it, you say you're going to make it come back to us in such a magnified form. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Now, others of you, you've never loved people. And you don't love people because you don't know love. You see, the Bible says that God is love. And if you don't know God, then you don't know love. You don't know what love is. You can only love people if you love God. Because God is love. And so, nothing's working out for you. No doors will ever open, and you'll never experience your dreams and the destiny that God has for you because it's such a link to love people and to give to people and to bless people. And so if that's you today and you're saying, wow, you know, I need to adjust my relationship with God. Maybe you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you have at one time, but you're distant and you know it now. But you're saying, man, I want to get where I need to be with the Lord right now so that doors can start opening for me and heaven can start blessing me. I want it. If that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're sitting and let me pray for you right where you're sitting? Hand in the back, hand over here. Any others? Other hand in the back. Any others? Any others?